You are listening to the Sports Call podcast presented by Pepsi. Enjoy today's edition of Auburn's first and Auburn's favorite sports talk show, Pepsi. That's what I like.
For over 25 years, Alabama's sports talk leader, Tiger Communications, proudly presents Sports Call.
Lewis is going to score! Lewis is going to score! Ground ball to shortstop. Thing and throws to first. Pack your bags! Auburn is going to the College World Series! Davis.
Oh, my God.
Davis is going to run it all the way back. Auburn's going to win the football game.
It's time to join J.J. Jackson and the guys as they discuss the latest headlines and happenings from around Auburn.
And, folks, for the first time in 19 years, we're cutting the nets down in Auburn, Alabama.
And the world of sports.
Swing and drive. Belton right.
Rebound box. Back out to Allen. His three-pointer. Bang!
3-1 for Acuna. Swinging a high fly ball. Deep to left field. Way, way back. It's gone.
To be a part of the show, give us a call at 334-887-3401 locally or toll free at 1-888-9-TIGER-9. And now, coming to you live from the loveliest village on the plains, Auburn's first and Auburn's favorite sports talk show, Sports Call.
Good afternoon, Auburn. Welcome into Sports Call here today on this fantastic Friday afternoon. Coming live from our studios here on South College Street. My name is J.J. Jackson. I've got Ryan Lavoie and Brooks Childress on the program with me today, and I hope that you are doing well as we've made it to the end of another week. Later today at 5 o'clock live on the SEC Network, we will learn the official football schedule for the SEC, and man, we cannot wait for that. That's got to be the biggest story of the day. We'll react to that and get you set up for next week's shows as, once again, you're listening to Auburn's first and Auburn's favorite sports talk show. J.J. Jackson is my name. Brooks Childress and Ryan Lavoie on the program with me as well. Ryan, how are you on this Friday?
Watching the PGA Championship, Tiger just teed off. You know, I always talk about Tiger if there's important golf on. But just getting to the weekend, and it's a weekend that, while it's taking place in August, it feels normal in the sports world. We got the PGA Championship. We've got Major League Baseball. We've got the NBA, NASCAR, NHL. Anything you want right now is going on here early in the month of August. So really excited just to have everything back, especially after it being gone for a few months. So feeling good, and just excited to hear about this schedule coming out. I'm not quite clear if it's the entire dates of everything, but I know we will at minimum know the two opponents that will be added to the already 8 scheduled games. So I'm sure everybody was right. Is just hoping and praying that Auburn does not have to. I mean, I'm sure some people will want to play Florida, just the competitive nature of it. But I think if you're asking most, probably you don't want to have to play both Florida and Georgia in yet another season.
And Ryan, you would think that it would be the full schedule when we're taking a look at what's coming at 5 o'clock. You're right. We don't know exactly what it is. We were promised by the SEC in the release that it would be those extra two opponents. But every other major conference in college football has put out a schedule. Why continue to wait?
I don't know. The SEC has kind of been they've just, over these last couple months, they've been the ones that have been taking things the easiest, meaning they've been most patient. They've been reluctant to make any rash decisions. They're just trying to let everything play out. Now, with the schedule, I mean, now that you have a set date and you know the way you want to make up the schedule, I don't know what the purpose would be for waiting from that point forward. It's kind of interesting, and I'm not trying to start anything where we don't know the schedule, we'll know it, or we don't know the opponents, we'll know it in just under an hour. But it is interesting that the SEC is taking the Friday evening approach to this news. It is known in the other forms of news as a news dump.
Absolutely.
And so I hope that that is just a mere coincidence and not something that they feel that everyone will be upset about, so they wanted to give it on Friday evening. So that is maybe a slight cautionary tale. But I don't know why they needed to be last in this regard when they did make their decisions over the last couple weeks that, hey, we're going to play 10 games, they're going to be conference only, we're going to start it a little later than normal. Once they make those decisions, then they could just roll out the schedule. Yet they are to last to do so. But hopefully it is all out today and we don't continue to wait. I guess we'll just have to find out here in less than an hour.
Yeah, we will. It'll be at 5 o'clock on the SEC Network. What are the other two opponents on the schedule this year for the Auburn Tigers? That's a big question that we've got to have answered, and hopefully dates come along with that as well. So we do know the order in which you're playing all of these SEC games, what the opponents look like, and that sort of thing. We're seeing more promotional videos being put out from Auburn football recently. Got a chance to see Anthony Schwartz wearing the new jersey number 1, Flash wearing 1, no longer wearing 5. Bo Nix looking good, ready for his sophomore season of football, and the team's ready to get out there and play.
Owen Papa wearing 0, yes. First time there for Auburn guy wearing 0. So, yeah, no, I think any sense of normalcy is welcome, and one of those things that kind of marks the turning the page into the next year is something that occurred a few days ago with that roster being posted, the new heights or the new weights, the new numbers, position changes. Matthew Hill moving from wide receiver to DB, at least listed that way on the roster, which was kind of an eyebrow raiser. But everyone's always interested. Did you put on weight? Did you need to gain strength? So did you need to put on weight? Did you want to get a little bit slimmer, a little bit faster, a little bit more agile? So did you lose the weight you wanted to lose? That sort of thing. Just those little things that maybe they don't make huge impacts in the season, but they're just kind of those little check marks that you make on the way towards a normal feeling season. So that with those numbers and yeah, we're going to have a couple more guys opt out. It's going to be inevitable, but I think a lot of the guys really fired up to play, and the closer and closer it gets, the more the anticipation builds. And then of course that coupled with the schedule release of some sort tonight, I think the anticipation is finally starting to build in a positive way rather than the doom and gloom, oh, please don't cancel this, please Certainly. Don't cancel this, that type of anticipation.
It's funny you mentioned the Friday night news dump that we're expecting from the SEC. At least it is news when it comes to what the other two opponents will be, because the past several Fridays, really for the past 6 to 8 weeks or so, a lot of people have been giving the SEC a tough time, Ryan, because as opposed to a good old Friday night news dump, we've seen a lot of Friday night news punts from the Southeastern Conference trying to stay as far away from making headlines or any form of decision whatsoever.
They like to, on 4th and 3, they like to run the play clock down and then call timeout, yeah. Is what they've essentially been doing. And look, I'm going to be interested, and once again, we don't know for a fact that every single game will be scheduled. We hope so. I would lean to say yes, but the only thing that's promised is these two additional opponents tonight. But if the full schedule comes out, I'll be interested to see how the order changes, because the order meant so much to so many in that, hey, Georgia, then a non-conference opponent, then Alabama. Well, it finally had been scheduled differently this year. However, LSU, non-conference opponent, Alabama. I don't think something that big would change, but you have to make sure, because we saw in the Big Ten, Ohio State and Michigan is somehow in October. And I don't think that needed to be changed per se, but here we are, and Ohio State and Michigan is not going to be the last game of the year. It's going to be kind of in the back middle portion of the schedule. So I don't know, but you can't promise that all those games will be in the same places, because they might be making adjustments league-wide. So if you're looking, though, what would have been the first SEC game, I believe for Auburn, it would have been Ole Miss.
Correct.
So that would be, I think, from an Auburn perspective, a pretty good way to start things, because...
And it still would have been on September 26th on
right.
the original calendar, which is when the SEC set to kick off this year.
Right. So I think if you're Auburn, you would be happy with that, because you're not having to play one of your most important 2 or 3 or 4 league games to start off with. Conversely, is the SEC comfortable with, and this is where... people would say, oh, it's favorable treatment. Is the SEC comfortable with something as big as Alabama and Georgia taking place in week 1? Because that was what was going to happen if things are not altered, is Alabama and Georgia playing. So I don't know if they'll have a more mundane start league-wide, and they might change some things to where you don't have any of the big five or six games of the SEC season taking place, or conversely, they leave things the same. They leave that Alabama-Georgia game, and in the case of Auburn, it means one of the quote-unquote easier games of the season to start off with. So lots and lots to be determined, but we do know this based off the other leagues. Don't just assume that everything is going to order up the same because you're inserting two games, you're going to have maybe a different bye week, you obviously taking out all those non-conference games, and as I mentioned, the example of if you think every game slot is safe, once again, I will point you to Ohio State and Michigan, a game that what had not taken place outside of November in almost 100 years?
1933, yeah.
So, and that game all of a sudden is in October. So I'm not saying that the Iron Bowl will be moved or that LSU is not going to be right in front of Alabama or anything like that, but I'm just saying that there could be an eyebrow raiser or two. At least if it's not having pertaining to Auburn, it could pertain to another game, big game in the SEC.
And Ryan, at the end of the day, it's 2020. So when you're expecting the best, get rid of expectations.
Right, expect the unexpected.
When it comes to this year. We've got some more news in the college football world. Brett McMurphy just reporting a moment ago. The Heisman Trophy is set to be announced on December 12th, but with conference title games being moved back to December 19th, a final decision on the Heisman date will have to be readjusted and made by ESPN and the Heisman Trust, because you don't want a Heisman Trophy before conference championship weekend. We'll see if they're able to change that. And then 24/7 Sports with the story up about the NCAA announcing that the FCS playoffs will not take place this fall. No FCS playoffs taking place this fall and are shelved until spring 2021. Due to the COVID-19 pandemic. On this Friday edition of Sports Call, we'll chat with Kevin McAlpin of the Braves Radio Network. We will take your phone calls. We've got some birthday shout-outs for the Sports Call 25th birthday that we want you to hear from, and we're always taking your phone calls. More on that in just a moment. But Ryan, big-time win last night for the Atlanta Braves. A welcomed addition for the one and only Nick Markakis.
Yeah, I mean, on cue, I mean, we were talking about how poetic it would be if Nick Markakis, who originally opted out, then opted back in in a situation where the Braves are starting to lose a couple players to injury, such as Ozzie Albies and then Mike Soroka, he opts back in and immediately makes the critical impact, and there he went, opting back in and making the critical impact of that walk-off homer. And those are the type of series and games you have to win in the shortened season. Obviously, you feel that way in any season, but in a 60-game season, you've got to take advantage of teams that just simply aren't going to make the playoffs because there's not that many of them. I would have told you for sure that the Miami Marlins would be an easy out, easy games, yada, yada, yada. Well, they're, I think, 5-1 or 6-1 right now, and look, they may very well fall flat on their face here in the next 50, but so far, so good for them. And you just don't know until you get a bigger sample size. So any team that feels like, yeah, they're not going to be the playoffs, or just can't do it, you know, like the Pirates right now, or the Royals in the American League, there's just not a whole lot of teams right now that feel like they can't make the playoffs. So when you play a team that is more on the spectrum of missing the playoffs, you got to win those series.
Sure.
And so they get the series victory with that win against the Blue Jays. And you just kind of think down the road, because all these teams, you count the wins and losses, obviously, and you start counting down the days, because with Atlanta's game tonight, they'll be a quarter of the way through the season. They will be 15 out of 60 into the season. So those little games like that against Toronto, when they eventually play Baltimore, when they eventually play their Marlins games, even if the Marlins start falling off, they're important to take advantage of, because every blown save, every missed opportunity in the ninth, every just game that feels that has high tension, it does, because it counts essentially 2.7 times what it normally does because of this 60-game season. So big win for Atlanta. Also big to try and get the Mike Soroka news out the back of their minds. I was worried that when Soroka got hurt, whenever one of your best players gets hurt, it can affect your psyche a little bit. And you just kind of hem-haw around and just tread water for a while. But Atlanta immediately goes out, wins 2 out of 3, and tries to put it behind them as a good team would do. So it was a good sign in this series. Definitely close games with Toronto, but that's what they're going to have to do many times. And that bullpen for Atlanta has been super good so far this year.
Really exciting stuff for Atlanta. The 4-3 win last night, Nick Markakis with the walk-off home run in the ninth inning to win it for the Braves. Coming up in about 15 minutes, we chat with Kevin McAlpin of the Braves Radio Network, as we do each and every Friday right here on Sports Call. We're looking forward to that conversation with one of our very good friends. Your phone calls are welcome. 334-887-341 locally, or toll free at 1-888-9-TIGER-9. And very big program news that we are thrilled to announce. Our phone line is once again sponsored. Special thank you to the Auburn Bank for sponsoring Auburn's first and Auburn's favorite sports talk show, phone line in particular. So thank you to the Auburn Bank. Call in and join us there on the Auburn Bank phone line. We'll go ahead and we'll take our first break of today's program. Some birthday shout-outs coming up right after this, and more of your phone calls on Sports Call.
Now, back to Auburn's first and Auburn's favorite sports talk show, Sports Call.
Welcome back into the program. It is Sports Call on a Friday. Fantastic Friday. Thank you for listening to Auburn's first and Auburn's favorite sports talk show. JJ Jackson hanging out with Ryan LaVoy and Brooks Childress on today's program. Hope everybody is doing well on this Friday. What we want to do right now is make sure, as we do each and every day, that we celebrate some of the great birthdays that we've got going on. So let's do this.
It's time for today's birthdays in sports.
A couple of birthdays that we want to make sure we give a shout out to today on Friday, August 7th. Quite the list. Starting off in the basketball world, DeMar DeRozan celebrating his birthday today. Great player for the San Antonio Spurs. Steve Kemp is celebrating a birthday today. Nate James celebrating his birthday today. Former big-time NBA player, current associate head coach for the Duke Blue Devils. Sidney Crosby, Sid the Kid, the Great, is celebrating a birthday today in sports. Kyler Murray, the former number one overall draft pick in the National Football League, is celebrating a birthday today. And new father, just a few days after the birth of his son, Beckham, Mike Trout, is celebrating his birthday today. That's always cool, Ryan, when you got a father, son, or father, daughter, when your birthday is quite close to your parents, you know?
Sure, yeah, and I've seen some Trout Ken Griffey Jr. comparisons today.
Uh-huh.
It's been quite interesting.
You been okay with that?
Yeah.
Both are damn good players.
It's a good reminder of how dang good Griffey was yeah. before he started getting injured.
Really, really good reminder about that. And once again, happy birthday to Mike Trout and all those people celebrating birthdays today. That is, in fact, our birthdays in sports. As we mentioned, you can be a part of the program by calling in and joining us on the Auburn Bank phone line. This is a Friday edition of Sports Call. We take your phone calls starting right now with our good friend Shadow, kind enough to join us on the program. Hello, Shadow.
Well, hello, guys. Let's see if this particular scenario, and of course with the people that are at your radio station, it may not be possible that any of y'all believe that Auburn has been taken advantage of for years. And I want to ask you, if Auburn does get Florida and Tennessee, would you finally have to admit preference for Alabama?
I would be very upset if that were the case. For Auburn, I'd like to know the reasoning as to how they came to that conclusion for it to be Florida and Tennessee specifically, and I do think that we'll hear that, so I don't want to immediately say that I'm going to be upset and think that there's going to be preference towards Alabama, but Shadow, I do want to know the reasoning behind it.
Okay, so have you answered the question?
Yes, I did answer the question.
Okay, so you will believe that there is preference for Alabama?
If the reasoning justifies it, but if they're looking at it and they can present a logical case for why the strength of schedule makes things even for it to be Florida on Auburn's schedule, then I'm going to own that. But if there's no good justification for it that comes along with this, then yes, I will 100% agree with you that once again we're seeing favor towards the University of Alabama.
Would it be easier for Alabama to reach the playoffs if Florida was not on their schedule?
Absolutely it would be. Yeah, Florida's going to be a good team. We learned yesterday Florida's a preseason top 10 team, according to the coaches poll from the USA Today.
if you're listening, that's your reason right there.
That if Florida is not on Alabama's schedule, that they have an easier chance to make it to the college football playoff, and therefore the SEC is trying to set up Alabama for success?
Absolutely.
I 100% follow your line of thinking. I just don't adopt that as my own every time, Shadow.
Okay, so it is a fact that Dan Mullen had a fit, and I'm sure that Nick Saban really wasn't in favor of it.
Oh, I'm sure.
I'll tell you what we're going to do.
What are we going to do?
Auburn will just take it and take it and take it. We'll give Auburn, Tennessee, and Florida and make a whole bunch of head coaches happy.
Yeah, I mean, obviously that will probably make some coaches happy if Auburn was getting the short end of the stick, Shadow. But Auburn hopes to have an easy schedule come out, and we'll find out in about an hour.
Well, wait a minute. I mean, when will Auburn people stand up and say something to try to defend and protect Auburn instead of being abused on a regular basis on the schedule? I'll tell you what, if that is the case, what I'd like for you to do, JJ, is read me Auburn's schedule with Tennessee and Florida included.
I won't know the order because obviously that's going to be shifted around and that sort of thing. But if it is Tennessee and Florida included, then you would add Kentucky because that's who Auburn. Right now, are you talking about the schedule? Right now doesn't mean anything, Shadow, because so many games have had to be scheduled, canceled.
I don't care about the schedule. Tell me the teams that Auburn will be playing if Tennessee is added with Florida.
Well, that's what I was starting to do when you cut me off.
Okay, I'm listening.
Okay, it would be Tennessee and Florida. Auburn has Kentucky also in the SEC East. That was already on their schedule. We'll see whether or not Joey Gatewood gets that waiver to come and play against Auburn at Auburn. And then in addition to that, you've got all your regular opponents that Auburn plays in the SEC West.
Okay, so you just don't want to name them, right?
Because I will name them. I will name them if you need me to, but I figure a lot of people know the SEC West. Arkansas, Texas A&M, the two Mississippi schools, along with LSU and Alabama.
Well, see, JJ, why do you talk over the people that call this station?
Shadow, I'm not talking over you. You asked me to answer the question.
Well,
I answered the question.
Talking, and you just kept ripping it off, and it's like, you know, whoever it is on the other end, it really don't matter because what I got to say takes precedence.
That's not true at all, Shadow. You know that. I go out of my way to make sure you're included in part of the show. You know that.
You know, and as for your other compadre, he ain't got nothing to say.
You're talking to me. You've addressed me by name, and so I've been answering the question, Shadow.
I'm talking to the guy right now, so why are you still talking?
Say that again?
I was talking to your other guy there and saying he ain't got nothing to say, and you're talking again.
Well, once again, because you addressed me by name, so I was answering the question. If you would like to hear from Ryan on what he thinks, Ryan would be more than willing to talk to you, Shadow.
Let me ask you a question, Ryan. Would it be preference for Alabama if Auburn was to face Florida and Tennessee?
Yes, it would be preferable for Alabama. Yes. They don't. Of course, they would not rather play Florida.
Would you believe that Alabama would be shown preference?
In that scenario, yes.
Are you an Auburn fan?
I graduated from Auburn University, yes.
Well, that wasn't my question.
I am, okay. Maybe if you'd listen, you would understand my answer. I said I graduated from Auburn University, comma, yes.
Well, I'm just saying, sir, it don't necessarily mean because people graduate from Auburn, they're an Auburn fan. Would you agree with that?
That's true, but I was telling you that not only am an Auburn fan, which was that where that comma yes came from, I also attended Auburn University.
Well, I'm glad you did attend Auburn, and that'll be all I have for today. We'll find out pretty quickly about what the schedule's going to be.
Yes, we will. 5 o'clock today, and we could talk about it at dinner on Tuesday night, okay?
Yeah, well, let's don't forget that.
I'm not going to forget that. Shadow, I feel like we're leaving on a bad note. I hope that you have a great weekend, my friend, okay?
Well, I'm going to have a great weekend, but I'll tell you, I love Auburn, and I hate seeing them continuously being taken advantage of, and I don't hear too many people standing up for Auburn. Thank you very much.
Shadow, we appreciate that phone call. 887-341 locally, toll-free at 1-888-9-TIGER-9 if you want to call in it. And be a part of today's program. I got time for one more phone call before we chat with Kevin McAlpin of the Braves Radio Network. Now we'll get the chance to spend a couple of minutes with retired War Dam Steve. Steve, got about 5 minutes with you or so, my friend. How are you today?
I got time for one more phone call before we chat with Kevin McAlpin. Now we'll get the chance to spend a couple of minutes Hey, good afternoon, gentlemen. Can you hear me?
We got you, Steve.
Okay, well, 5 minutes won't do sufficiently for me to address some of the stuff with Shadows nonsense. But I wish you guys, you know, would just recognize for what he does. He likes to intimidate people, and he did that again today. He likes to ambush people, and that's really, you know, to me, not a good character representation of what Auburn people should be like. So, yeah, Shadow, I'm calling you out. Quit bullying people, okay? All right, moving on, guys. On birthdays.
What you got?
Mike Trout today.
Yes.
29 years old.
Just gave him a big shout-out. He had just had his son born as well, so it's a very exciting week for Mike Trout.
Yeah. How about Charlize Theron? She turns 45 today.
Yeah, great actress celebrating her birthday.
And a guy that is still good, even though he was a former Alabama player, Mr. Jalen Hurts, turns 22.
Happy birthday to Jalen Hurts.
All right, guys, I think I have a legitimate explanation for why it's taking this long for the SEC to come up with their scheduling.
Why is that?
I think that they've just been, you know, having a back and forth and just waiting to see, you know, what did Nick Saban want?
Sure.
That's my take on that. There's no reasonable explanation for why it's taking this long, guys. Come on, we all know this, okay? And at risk of sounding cynical and skeptical and jaded, yes, I could be all those. I don't have any doubts that Saban had some kind of conversations, either on the side or behind the curtains, but yeah. So I'm going to leave it at that. And Keith and Luke, you're welcome to call me and take me out on it, but don't tell me for a moment that Nick Saban doesn't have some pull behind the curtains, or maybe in front of the curtains, with the SEC upper-level administrators. Okay, let's continue, guys. I saw an unfortunate issue today come up with Auburn player, Mr. Senior back, reserve back, Trayvon Leonard.
Trayvon He's Leonard, yes.
Yeah,
he has opted out of the season.
Yeah, I feel badly for him, and I hope he recovers in a timely manner, and I wish him the best health-wise as well. All right, guys, you may want to read this because we don't have enough time, but this is incredible, in fact, incredulous, but maybe shouldn't be. It was on insiders.com, and it's entitled, "A Recent College Grad is Facing Prison Time for Trying to Fix a St. John's Basketball Game by Bribing Friends of the Other Team." Have you read that?
Have not read that story. No, Steve. That's interesting.
Yeah, you might want to check it out. Apparently, it was in 2018. It was St. John's versus Wagner Seahawks. And apparently, he was a Wagner student at the time and was trying to get some of the players, was going to pay them, I think, $7,500 apiece so he could bet $50,000 on the game that they'd lose by 20 points. It didn't go through for him too well, and now he's facing a possible 6 months in prison, along with some other fines. So,
yeah,
I just thought this. You know, let me ask
I'm
you
sure
guys,
he doesn't want to be in that position with prison possibly being a possibility.
Which is it easier? Is it easier to fix a basketball game with some players or a football game?
I would think the answer would have to be a basketball game if you're trying to fix it with it, only because if you're looking at pure volume, you've got 10 players on the floor at one single time, and for a team, that's 5 that are out there, whereas you've got to convince 11 people on a football field to make that happen.
And I thought so, too, but then I thought about, you know, you probably maybe only need 1 or 2 players or maybe on a football team if you got some star players. Let's say Cam decides he's going to throw some interceptions.
Right. If your quarterback's in there, you're in a tough spot, absolutely, and if that's the case, it might just be 1 for football, but I was thinking if you're going team by team, I'm going to take by volume. It's a smaller number on the team when you talk about basketball versus football.
Yeah, I was just thinking about that. All right, guys.
Last thought for us, Steve.
I hope to gosh that we don't get what Shadow said, Florida and Tennessee. But if we do, guys, do you think there's any, you know, remedy to that? Is there any appeal to that? Or tough luck? See you next year?
Yeah, it would just be tough luck because they're not going to announce a schedule and then, you know, pull a Tennessee athletic department because the fans got irritated and then say, oh, well, you know, on second thought, we'll change this. So, yeah, it would just be tough luck.
Thank you for the call, Steve.
Okay, guys. Y'all have a safe weekend. And I hope, gosh, you know, my cynicism and my skepticism, and maybe I guess jaded, being jaded doesn't come through. Warrior guys, thank you for your time. My time is up. We'll talk to you Monday.
Appreciate the phone call, Steve. Always good to hear from you on our Auburn Bank phone line. And news a moment ago from Brett McMurphy. We learned yesterday that UAB would be playing Miami in Atlantic Coast Conference play. And Conference USA schools will be able to play 8 regular league games on original dates and can play up to 4 non-conference games as well. Title game set for December 5th and could be moved up if they need to play makeup games. Let's take a break. We're back with Kevin McAlpin right after this on Sports Call.
JJ Jackson and the guys want to hear from you. Give them a call to join Sports Call at 334-887-3401.
Did you miss any of today's show or want to listen to a segment or interview again? Check out the Sports Call podcast presented by Pepsi anytime, on demand, wherever you get your podcast. From Apple Music to Google Play to Spotify, our podcast is everywhere. Enjoy an ice-cold Pepsi to go along with the hottest sports talk. Thank you for always listening to Auburn's first and Auburn's favorite sports talk show. Pepsi, that's what I like.
Auburn University Sports. All the action, all the excitement. Tiger Communications is the flagship of the Auburn Tigers, delivering the massive audience that can get advertising results. And no one can put you front and center of Auburn's huge fan base than advertising on Tiger Communications. It's easy and it's affordable. Call Stephanie Cox at 877-9999 for all the details, or email Stephanie at thetiger.fm. Tiger Communications. War Eagle.
This is Andy Burcham, voice of the Auburn Tigers, and you're listening to Sports Call on Tiger 95.9.
Welcome back into Sports Call on a Friday. JJ Jackson, Ryan Lavoie inside our studios, and getting a chance to catch up with our weekly friend, none other than Kevin McAlpin of the Braves Radio Network. Kev, how are we today?
I'm doing well. How are you guys?
Doing very well. Thank you so much for asking, and really excited about what we saw last night at the ballpark for the Atlanta Braves. On last week's show, we talked about what the addition of Nick Markakis could possibly bring for this Braves offense. And with a big fly, the walk-off home run last night. How surreal was that inside Truist Park last night, Kevin?
Yeah, it was pretty awesome. You know, just to see, you know, a guy like Nick, who has meant so much to this team over the years, to come back. Think about it. He was out of the game for a couple of weeks. He goes back and gets a handful of at-bats in simulated action, and there he is hitting a walk-off home run. So it's not surprising because I know how, you know, well Nick takes care of his body and how hard of a worker he is. But to see him come back and have that kind of a moment, and then to see him crack a smile when he crossed home plate, I mean, you know, the worlds are colliding here, you know. Nick's actually smiling. But, no, you know what? I think for a guy like that, 15 years in the big leagues, when you take the game away, I think you can appreciate it even that much more. And I think that's what you saw from Nick last night. So a great moment for him, a big win for the Braves. 7-2 homestand, they're playing good baseball. Now it's on the road for a really long trip to Philly. They'll play the Yankees. And then they go to Miami. So a 9-game road trip after a 9-game homestand, and hopefully they can keep that momentum rolling here tonight in Philly.
Just another note on Markakis, Kevin. Was there anything notable that he said possibly after last night's game, getting back into the swing of things? Because it had been a little bit of time since he had been in action.
You know, it's funny. We had him on the Ford Leadoff Show on the Braves Radio Network last night, and one of the sound bites was about him saying, "I'm not really worried about my timing at the plate. It's more my legs and running around in the outfield. That's what I'm a little more worried about. It's just, you know, making sure I'm in great, you know, in game shape," which, again, he is. I mean, he would not have come back. They would not have activated him if he wasn't. But it was funny because we just talked about a pregame where he's saying, "I'm not really worried about my timing at the plate." He had to face a kid last night who throws a fastball in the upper 90s. That kid was 97 and 99. So, you know, welcome back, right? You got to face a kid who can touch triple digits. But, you know, again, a moment last night for him that really felt very eerily similar to that walk-off homer in 2018 when he broke the Phillies' hearts on opening day. Almost the same spot to the chop house there in right field. But yeah, it's something he talked about. He didn't think it would take all that long. And then, of course, the celebration with all of his teammates around home plate. He said that was a little bit different, but still a great moment nonetheless. And I'm sure that's certainly a walk-off game winner that he won't forget for a long, long time.
On the other side of things, Kevin, unfortunately, there's a slew of injuries taking part in Major League Baseball and on the Braves right now. Let's start in the lineup. It's kind of the reverse of Nick Markakis now falling out of the lineup is Ozzie Albies. Talk about his injury. Is it one of those injuries that it might be nagging him all season long, or is it something that he can get back up to 100% with just a little bit of rest?
Yeah, I think that's a big key. He needs rest. With a wrist, if you're trying to play every day, it's not necessarily going to get worse. It's just not going to get better. So when you talk about, you know, having to take some time off, I'd rather it happen now, have him miss a week and a half, 2 weeks early in the season than have that thing linger all year. You knew he was really hurting the other night when he went up there batting lefty against a left-hander. That's when I knew, okay, something's really not right, and this is worse than they thought. I speculated on the post-game show that he was going to go on the IL the next day, and that's exactly what happened. It's a move they had to make. I mean, you know, at the end of the day, you need Ozzy in September and October a lot more than you need him right now. So, again, while I don't know that it would have gotten progressively worse, I just know that it probably would not have gotten any better by trying to play through it. So, you know, the good news for the Braves, they have depth at that position, which is why depth is so much more important this year in a short season than it is in 162. You've got Charlie Culberson, you've got a Danny Echevarria, you also have Johan Camargo if you needed him at second base as well. So the Braves are well equipped to handle it. Now, look, it stinks taking a bat like that out of your lineup. But again, if he's going the way he was, anything you're going to get from Echevarria, Culberson, or Camargo in that spot will be an upgrade. I mean, he just had nothing. It was a lot of soft contact, a lot of, you know, weak fly ball. He just didn't have any power in his swing. So it's a move that had to happen. And I think that, you know, after a couple of weeks of rest, he'll be just fine.
On the more serious side of things for the injuries, of course, the Braves lost their ace earlier this week, Mike Soroka, a torn Achilles. First and foremost, how is Mike doing and how is the team around him? What have they been saying about Mike?
If you know Mike, if you've ever spent any time around him, you're not surprised to find out that he was obviously dejected, but actually handling it pretty well. I mean, he knew that this is out of his control. There's nothing he can do to change what happened. Obviously, it's a disappointing and a frustrating moment for him, but the team has to soldier on, and he'll be there to support them every step of the way. So for Mike, he'll probably undergo surgery early next week. That's sort of the timetable. From what I understand about an Achilles tear, you got to give it, you know, 3 or 4 days for that swelling to go down until you can get in there and try to repair it. Now, the good news is it's not a shoulder or an elbow. It's an Achilles, and he will recover from this, and he'll be just fine down the road. It may be May or June next year until he's back to 100% on a big league mound. But again, we're not talking Tommy John surgery. We're not talking about a shoulder, which he's had issues with in the past. So while I'm sure it's disappointing and frustrating on the eve of his 23rd birthday, that's certainly not how he expected to celebrate turning 23 the next day. This team has always done a really nice job of picking each other up. You saw Max Fried go out there the next night and put the team on his back and get a W. So I'm not surprised to see this team sort of use that as a rallying point. And again, for Soroka, you feel bad for him, the person, because I've covered Major League Baseball now for 11 seasons. When I say he is one of the most genuine, nicest people on earth, I'm not just referring to athletes or baseball players. Like, he is just a really good kid. He's someone you want to pull for. And, again, he'll recover from this. He'll be fine. I'm sure it's disappointing. But he handled it about as well as any 22 going on 23-year-old possibly could.
So logistically for Atlanta, a rotation that was already struggling on the back end, having to find another arm to fill the vast void that is Mike Soroka. I listened to the broadcast a little bit last night. I heard Joe Simpson mention the possibility, or at least Tyler Matzek earning a right to maybe be that guy, but of course was used last night, so not likely at all to take that place now. Who are the candidates to replace Mike Soroka in rotation?
Well, I think Matzek, even though he did pitch last night, I would still leave him in consideration because they could technically say that that was his side day. You know, a lot of times starting pitchers throw a side session 2 days before they pitch. So theoretically, that could have been a key logistics move for the Braves to get him out there and get him an inning, just to get some pitches under his belt. We've seen them do that in the past. I still think it's going to be Bryce Wilson, at least for this time through, and then maybe it could be Matzek. Maybe they try to build him up a little bit further than he is. There's also the possibility they go with an opener. And again, that could be Matzek. turning it over to, say, a Josh Tomlin for a long relief situation. I think a lot of things are still in play. After the game last night, the Braves still hadn't decided what they were going to do, or at least publicly they haven't announced what they're going to do. But I think the final two candidates are Mattis and Bryce Wilson for this time around. And then again, I don't know that either of those two guys are long-term solutions. I think ideally you'd like to have a veteran guy in there. I would love to see Josh Tomlin, but he's so valuable in that role that they've found for him coming out of the bullpen and being their Swiss Army knife, if you will. So, you need to get somebody with a little bit more experience in there. Your rotation is really young, and if you start talking about an Ian Anderson or a Tucker Davidson, you get even younger and less experienced. So ultimately down the line, I think they'll try to trade for a starter, but that's going to be difficult this early in the season. So for now, they're going to have to stay internal. They're going to have to find guys to bridge the gap between now and later on this month when starters could become available as teams fall out of the race. But again, I think in the short term, if I had to guess, I'm probably leaning towards Bryce Wilson. Again, Tyler Mattis would still be in consideration, but again, a guy like Bryce would be stretched out to the point where he'd be able to give you 5 or 6 innings right now. So we'll probably have a better idea on that later on today where they're going to go.
Kevin, update us on the status of Cole Hamels, because I'm sure a lot of Braves fans very excited to see an old foe join the team on this one-year deal, but of course dealing with injuries and on a shortened season, it seems like time is already starting to run out in some sort of way.
I just hope he throws a pitch this year, guys. I do. I mean, he's out till at least September the 1st when he was placed on the 45-day IL with that triceps issue. He had the shoulder issue during spring training, or at least right before spring training. I'm starting to get my doubts that we even see him put on a uniform this year. I really am. I mean, every time it gets asked to snit, and believe me, it's a couple of times a week, he's just in his progression. He's in his throwing program, not to the point where he's ready to face hitters or anything like that. So it's getting late early for Cole Hamels to be able to contribute this season, which would be a major disappointment. You know, when they signed him, I thought this was a great move. Veteran guy, like I said a minute ago, you need to get a veteran guy in there, an inning feeder, someone that can go to the post every 5 days. I'm starting to have my doubts we see him at all. And again, for a guy they gave $18 million to, what a disappointment that would be. Look, if you're Hamels, you've made a ton of money in your career, you've won a World Series, you've been a World Series MVP, you've thrown a no-hitter, you started a combined no-hitter, you've accomplished a lot, and you've made, like I said, a ton of money. At 36 years old, I don't know that he's ready to hang it up just yet, but missing an entire season would certainly be a step towards that direction of probably being done for his career. So, like I said, I'll believe it when I see it that we see Cole Hamels get on a big league mound this season.
We're talking with Kevin McAlpin of the Braves Radio Network here on a Friday Sports Call. You can listen to all the Braves games on our sister station, 1230 WAUD, right here in Auburn. Kevin, if we switch things over to the offensive side of the team for the Atlanta Braves, 14 games into the year with Marcell Ozuna in the lineup, outside of the baseball diamond, what's been your biggest takeaway from watching Marcell Ozuna interact with his teammates in Atlanta?
Well, they love him, and I'll say this. Nick Markakis, I think, said it best during spring training. He goes, you know, I think we're really happy to have him. We think he'll be a great fit. We didn't like him a whole lot during the playoffs last year, but I'm on our side now. Ozuna ripped our hearts out last season. I think he's done a great job in the middle of the order. You know, that was the big question all offseason. How are the Braves going to fill the void left by Josh Donaldson? Oh, by the way, for those fans who may not be paying attention, that calf has become an issue again for Josh Donaldson, and he has missed some time in the early going, so it makes the Braves look even smarter for not giving him that 4-year deal that he was looking for this offseason. I like Josh. I would have loved to have him back, but not at the expense of a 4-year, you know, $100-plus million deal. But to Ozuna's end, I think what you're going to see from him for the most of the games going forward, I think you'll see him DH. I think this team, you know, obviously puts a lot of stock in defense, putting their best defense out there. And right now, you know, Ozuna is not giving you your best defense. It's going to be Markakis or Duvall with Acuna and with, again, some combination of Duvall and Markakis. I don't think we see a whole lot of Ender and Ciarte either, even against right-handers. I just think that they're going to ride the hot hand. And right now, it's going to be those three guys I just mentioned with Ozuna DHing. So, I think he fit in well. I know that, Acuna and Albies have been around him from day one of spring training. And again, he's a fun guy. I like him. I'm just bummed we're not allowed in the clubhouse to hang out with these guys like we usually do every day to get to know him better. I mean, I was around him for, almost 5 weeks in spring training, but I would love to get to know Marcell better. But he's a character. He has a lot of fun, a lot of energy on the field, and he's fit right in from day one with this club.
Last week, Kevin, I asked you about some of the stars of the game and their cold starts. Christian Yelich homering last night for the Brewers, Cody Bellinger having a good week, and of course, Atlanta's Ronald Acuña Jr., who has had a good week, has started to come out of that slump. What have you seen that has been different in his at-bats this past week?
Well, I think drawing walks was huge for him. I think going the other way was a really good sign. A couple nights ago, maybe it was Sunday. These days all start to run together. We start playing 20 in a row. It was either Sunday or Monday, and I think he went over 3, but drew a couple of walks, but had a long fly out to the wall in right field, had a line out for the gap in right center, and I turned to the guys in the studio, and I said, he's back. I said, he's seeing the ball well. He's squaring it up. It's just a matter of time. And then, of course, he hits the home run. He does the curtain call for the cardboard cutout fans behind the dugout. You could just tell he was getting there. And even though he wasn't, hitting the ball hard, wasn't pulling it, putting it in the seats, you could tell that it was just a matter of time. And he had a stretch where he was on base in 12 of 23 plate appearances with, 6 or 7 walks. So that was an encouraging sign as well. I believe 4 of those 6 hits were for extra bases, including a home run. So you knew he was heating up. You knew it was coming around. And again, as I mentioned last week, he's a guy that can put an offense on his back and carry you for a week or 10 days. So you think about where the Braves are at this point in the season. They're 9-5 through 14 games. And they're really doing that without the top of the order doing a whole lot in the first 2 weeks of the season. So that's a really encouraging sign that you are where you are without the offense really clicking on all cylinders right now. So it just goes to show you, I still believe the best is yet to come for this team.
Just a couple of more for Kevin McAlpin, our guest on today's edition of Sports Call, as he is each and every Friday, and listen to the Braves Radio Network all throughout the season for complete coverage of Atlanta through this 2020 year. Kevin, as we turn our attention to this upcoming weekend, what's the 4-1-1 on this Philly squad 2 weeks into the year?
Well, JT Realmuto is hot as a firecracker right now, so you got to watch out for him, of course. A guy who's going to be a free agent at the end of the year. Being a native Philadelphian, I'm liking the fact that there's some Phillies fans. As you've seen this, they're at the center field gate. There's like a public street out there where you can actually see the field. They've got signed JT, banners up that they're holding up. Wow. And they're cheering and they're going nuts. Of course, they've got Bryce Harper, who you always have to be careful with. Phil Gosselin, one of our old friends, former Braves pick from many years ago, who's with the Phillies now. He's a Philly kid. He grew up not too far from where I'm from. Phil and I have stayed in touch for the last handful of years. He is off to a red-hot start. He's batting 5th for the Phillies. So he's a name to keep an eye on as well. They get to face Luis Velasquez tonight, who they have absolutely teed off on over the years. Velasquez, something like 1-6 with a 5.5 ERA against the Braves lifetime. So they've got their work cut out for them with guys like Realmuto and Harper and others, McCutcheon in there. And, it's a good lineup. It's a good Phillies lineup. But Kingery, a nice young player as well. But again, I think the matchup certainly favors the Braves tonight. They've had a ton of success against Velasquez. Freeman and Marquez and Ozuna and Ronald have had some really good numbers lifetime. So I'm keeping an eye on the top of the order to do some damage tonight.
Braves and Phillies tonight, first of a weekend series against the friends in the National League Eastern Division. And then final question, as always, Kevin, we put you on the spot each and every week and under the radar pick. And Travis d'Arnaud was as good as it gets last week in particular, and particularly the Friday night heroics he had last week. Who you got for us this week, Kevin, in a word on how successful d'Arnaud was for you this past weekend?
By the way, you guys like those texts I send you, during the game where I'm like, there's another one.
Oh, yeah, we love them.
Some of the language we can't
repeat. Right, exactly.
Celebrate getting ones right every now and then. All right, I'll give you an under-the-radar name to keep an eye on this weekend. Adany Echevarria. I think he's going to get some playing time here with Ozzie Albies out. Great glove, good defender. I think he's going to get some good reps at the bottom of the order. I'll look for Echevarria to be an under-the-radar kind of guy. I know he did some damage a couple of weeks ago, last year against the Mets. After they cut it loose. So I'll say Echevarria is the guy I'm going to keep an eye on. And as far as the bullpen, I'm very excited to see Will Smith this weekend. I think he's got a chance to make a big-time impact, and I think we could see him get in there as early as tonight. Smith wanted to get him in there last night, but the situation didn't really dictate it. So I'll look for offensively Adany Echevarria to be my under-the-radar guy with Will Smith coming out of the bullpen and maybe even getting a couple of cracks in the ninth inning as well. We'll see what happens.
Absolutely love it. We'll be texting you throughout the week, Kevin. We certainly do appreciate it. And folks, be sure to listen to Braves Radio Network coverage. It's got to be weird for you, Kev, that the team's in Philadelphia, but you guys are holding down the fort there in Atlanta still, correct?
It's weird. I think I told you last week I had major FOMO when the team went on the first road trip. Because I've been on every road trip since the start of 2012.
Wow.
Section of April of 2015 when my son Max was born. I've been on every other road trip. I am such a nerd, and I might have admitted this to you guys already, but last night I waited and put on the FlightAware app, and I typed in the charter flight number, and I actually like tracked them as they were going up to Philly at like 1 o'clock in the morning. I was thinking about all of my friends, the flight attendants who I miss seeing and miss enjoying a cocktail with as we travel around the country. So it is weird, very strange to watch a game from Philly tonight. Obviously, I wouldn't have a chance to see mom or the family again because we would be stuck in the hotel. But it'll be really strange to not be there these next 4 days. So you want to think about FOMO for the first road trip not being on it. It'll be through the roof here the next 4 days for sure.
Kevin, we certainly do appreciate the time today. We'll catch up again next week, all right?
Enjoy it, fellas. Stay well.
That's Kevin McAlpin of the Braves Radio Network joining us here on a Friday Sports Call.
Our show is in the books. We've got more to come. Stay tuned for another hour of Sports Call right after the break.
Did you miss any of today's show or want to listen to a segment or interview again? Check out the Sports Call podcast presented by Pepsi anytime, on demand, wherever you get your podcast. From Apple Music to Google Play to Spotify, our podcast is everywhere. Enjoy an ice cold Pepsi to go along with the hottest sports talk. Thank you for always listening to Auburn's first and Auburn's favorite sports talk show. Pepsi, that's what I like.
1 hour of Sports Call down and 1 hour to go. Whether you're leaving work, cruising around town, or listening on demand, we've still got some fun left for you.
And folks, for the first time in 19 years, we're cutting the nets down in Auburn, Alabama.
To be a part of the show, give us a call at 334-887-3401 locally or toll free at 1-888-9-TIGER-9.
Lewis is going to score!
Now a 3-1 for Acuna. Swinging a high fly ball. Deep to left field. Way, way back. It's gone!
Auburn's first and Auburn's favorite sports talk show is ready for 60 more minutes of fun. Now, here is the host of Sports Call, J.J. Jackson.
Second hour of Sports Call starts right now. Tiger 95.9 AM 620 WTRP in LaGrange. J.J. Jackson on the program with Ryan LaVoy and Brooks Childress. Really good first hour of our show that you could go back and listen to on the Sports Call podcast brought to you by our friends over at Pepsi. We had a good conversation with Kevin McAlpin of the Braves Radio Network that you could find right there on the podcast. And this is actually going to be quite a short live edition of hour number two. We're going to play an interview from Andy Burcham of the Auburn Sports Network a little bit earlier this week. And also, we're going to let you hear from Phil Steele, who we talked to yesterday as we get ready for the upcoming college football season in 2020. A moment ago, we learned who Auburn's next two opponents will be in the Southeastern Conference. We'll let you know those teams in just a moment. But it is the final day that we're celebrating birthdays for Sports Call. And so with that, we've got a couple of more birthday shout-outs that we want you to hear live on our show. Here it is.
Hello, everybody. Will Moon from Sports Call here. Hosted the show some amount of years ago. We're not going to get into that. But the show hitting the big 2-5 this weekend. And congratulations to the program in general. Congratulations to Tom Haley. Congratulations to Brooke Myers. Current hosts, former hosts, many of my former colleagues, Bill Cameron, Dan Peck, Bill Bailey. Sharpie, Ben Brown, Tom Peavy, Taylor Jones, and the list goes on, and really had a great time on the program, had a great time working with those guys, with our regular contributors over the years, your Jason Caldwells, your Philip Marshalls, your Brian Matthews's, as well as, of course, the callers, many of whom are stories that I still remember very fondly from my time hosting the program, and hope the program continues to rock on into the future. I know 25 years sounds good to me, so let's see if we can make that happen. But yeah, once again, congratulations to the program, and congratulations and thank you to all the listeners over the years who've made the program what it is. So everybody just enjoy this anniversary, and we'll see how many more years the show can roll up in the future.
How's it going, guys? Reed Slider here, former host of Sports Call. Just talked to JJ, and he told me that the show is on its 25th anniversary, which is just incredible. There's been some great hosts in the past and some great guys doing it now. Really love what you guys have done with the show. It's something I'm so proud to have been a part of. I know it's going to have 25 more years, so happy 25th birthday, Sports Call. I miss you guys. I miss the hosts. I miss the callers, the listeners. Everything. It was great. Thank you guys so much for letting me be a part of that. And here's to 25 more years.
Hello, everybody. Taylor Jones here, former co-host, former producer, former, well, really anything that you can do with Sports Call and Tiger Communications. I've probably done or have at least tried to do in some way over the last decade. Hey, 25 years of Sports Call. An amazing feat that I wish I could say I was surprised about, but you know, when they say that something's been around for at least two decades and now two decades and a half, that you must be doing something right. And I'm a firm believer that Sports Call and Tiger Communications have done the right things to keep Sports Call on the air for 25 years. It was great before I got there in 2011, and of course, it continued to be great with Bill Cameron, Chuck Furlow. Also, it was an honor to work with great guys such as Jason Caldwell, Brian Matthews, Philip Marshall, a couple of those guys that continued to be on the show once I took over and was hosting the show as well. Then I decided to leave, and Brooke Myers thought that it would be a great idea for me to come back home, and I thought that as well. So a big thanks to her for letting me come back to Auburn and South College Street again for a year. And I knew when it was time for me to leave again and I handed the keys over to JJ Jackson back in 2017, I knew that the show was going to continue to be in good hands, and he's continued to prove me right. I guess really the only gripe that I have with Sports Call now is that they still let Bill Bailey on the air sometimes. I don't know what that's about, but I only kid Bill. He's just as influential as the people that I mentioned beforehand. He's allowed me to have some play-by-play opportunities as well, and allowed me to be a better broadcaster because of that. So thank you to Bill as well. I had a lot of fun working with Reed Slider, Tom Peavy, all the other guys that I've worked with the Sports Call over the last couple of years. And I cannot wait until 25 years from now when I'm making another video where we're celebrating the 50th anniversary of Sports Call. So the guys that are still there now, JJ, Tom Peavy, Bill Bailey, all the other guys that work with Sports Call, keep rocking, and we look forward to listening again for another 25 years.
Happy birthday, Sports Call, 25 years on the air. Hello, everybody. I'm the host of Sports Call currently, JJ Jackson, and we wanted to put this clip together of former hosts and co-hosts shouting out our favorite sports talk show, Auburn's First and Auburn's Favorite. We think it's the greatest sports talk show in the world, and a part of that is because of the great callers and listeners that we have for this very program. I wanted to give a lot of shout outs and thank yous, first and foremost to our owner, Tom Haley, for allowing this show to be on the air for so long. Thank you to Brooke Myers, our current general manager, for putting up with us each and every day. That's a tough task in its own. A special shout out to our sales staff, Stacy Lynn, Stephanie Cox, for their hard work day in and day out, making sure advertisers get the opportunity to be on the air with our fine program. Also, shout out to all of our board operators who you might not be as familiar with. They're behind the scenes, they're taking your phone calls, and they're doing a terrific job making sure the show is up and running, along with the incredible interns that we've had over the years. I haven't been here super long as the host, but I know I'm standing on the shoulders of giants when it's the likes of Bill Cameron and Andy Burcham, Jasher Cox, Dan Peck, all the great hosts that have come before me, thrilled to now be the host of Auburn's first and Auburn's favorite sports talk show. Here's to 25 more years of Auburn's first and Auburn's favorite. Again, I'm JJ Jackson. As always, thank you and good day.
Thought you might enjoy that. That's a couple of folks on this program wishing Sports Call a happy birthday again, celebrating 25 years of excellence on the air here in the Tiger Communications family of radio stations. A moment ago, we learned the two new opponents for Auburn as they get ready for this SEC season. JJ Jackson hanging out with Brooks Childress and Ryan Lavoie. Just quick reactions. We'll get you a TV guide, and then we'll play some great football conversations with Andy Burcham and Phil Steele to round out this week on the program. Auburn adds a home game this season against Tennessee. They last played the Volunteers at home in 2018, and the Tigers pick up a game on the road at South Carolina. They were scheduled to play on the road at South Carolina in 2021. We will have to wait to confirm whether or not that game stays in place, and we're still waiting to officially hear from the SEC as to how they came to this decision on the extra two opponents being added to each schedule. Brooks, quickly, a word on your thoughts to Auburn adding Tennessee and South Carolina to the schedule.
It's not as bad as it could have been, and it's also not as great as good. It's not as good as what Alabama got. Alabama got an absolute gift in their schedule. But Auburn, it's not as bad as you could have thought. There was a lot of anticipation that Auburn could be stuck with Florida again this year. That obviously did not happen. The Tennessee game, you look for some extra motivation there with Gus Malzahn and this Auburn football team to kind of redeem themselves at home after that 2018 loss that shouldn't have happened in a lot of people's eyes, that it should have been an Auburn win over Tennessee. But you get that, and then you go to a South Carolina team it's a dangerous team especially when you play on the road at Williams-Brice Stadium. But it's a team that Auburn can beat, and it's a team that Will Muschamp, it's a game that Will Muschamp is going to have to win. And it could be a game that determines Will Muschamp's future at South Carolina this year. So it's not as gifting of a draw as some other teams in the conference got, but I think Auburn fans will take it for this draw.
Yeah, for Auburn, obviously we were talking about in hour number one, don't want Florida and Tennessee. So you get the second toughest, and in my opinion, I think South Carolina may be a little better than Missouri, but that's going to be a pick 'em this year. So you got the second and third out of the five available opponents. So I think you avoid the Florida bomb, which you did, and you got to think you're at least favored in those two games. You're definitely favored against South Carolina. I know there's a lot of hype around Tennessee, but I got to favor Auburn over Tennessee no matter where they're playing that game, and they are playing that game at home. So it's a opportunity to avenge a very disappointing loss in 2018 at home to the Vols. So as long as you dodge that Florida bullet, which you did, I know you don't get Vandy, you don't get a cupcake win per se, or at least an easy win, but you still get two games that you should be favored in and that you should be expected to win. So can't think you got to argue, or can't think there's much argument there. I'm sure some people won't love that LSU added Missouri and Vanderbilt, maybe the two weakest that they could have added. So definitely on the lower end for them. But Texas A&M, after A&M had a brutal schedule last year, they were going to have a much easier time of it this year. Well, they added about the two worst they could. They're at Tennessee and host Florida. So tough for Texas A&M there. That'll hurt maybe their big attempts at a big season there. But yeah, from the Auburn perspective, just a average turnout there. Not the easiest thing that could have happened, but not the hardest since Florida's not on there.
Tennessee and South Carolina added to Auburn's schedule in 2020. And again, we are waiting to hear what days these games will be played. When exactly in the schedule do these two opponents get added and that sort of thing. All right, let's give you a TV guide for tonight.
Our show is about to end, but we've got you covered on entertainment for the evening. Here's Sports Call's nightly TV guide.
Yes, it is time for our nightly TV guide that's brought to you by our friends over at Coca-Cola. Brooks, inform us on some television this evening.
Well, tonight, we are finishing up with the TV guide a little bit early, so at 5:30 on TNT, it's some NBA basketball as Orlando, the Magic of Orlando, take on the Philadelphia 76ers from HP Fieldhouse on the campus of Walt Disney World. Also at 5:30 on NBCSN, it's game four of the qualifying round of the Western Conference between the Edmonton Oilers and the Chicago Blackhawks. A thrilling game on Wednesday night between these two. Chicago came from a goal down to win scored two goals in the last 5 minutes of play to win the game by one over the Oilers and forced this game 4. 6 o'clock on Golf Network tonight, the Korn Ferry Tour continues on with the Winco Foods Portland Open second round play from Pumpkin Ridge Golf Course in North Plains, Oregon. 6 o'clock on ESPN2, the WNBA season rolls on as the New York Liberty take on the Washington Mystics. 8 o'clock on FS1 tonight, the Los Angeles Angels take on the Texas Rangers as Mike Trout continues his hot streak after returning from paternity leave of last week. 8 o'clock on TNT tonight, the Boston Celtics take on the defending NBA champions, the Toronto Raptors, down in Orlando. It's Kemba Walker and Jaylen Brown facing off against Fred VanVleet and Kyle Lowry in this clash, who swapped a 16-point road win in December. 16-point road wins in December. They both beat each other by 16.
Sure.
8 o'clock on NBCSN tonight, another game 4 between the Maple Leafs and the Blue Jackets tonight in Toronto. 8 o'clock on ESPN2, some WNBA basketball. It's the Los Angeles Sparks taking on the Las Vegas Aces. 9 o'clock on Paramount Network tonight. If you want to watch some mixed martial arts, the Bellator MMA Live 243 is going on tonight. And then at 9:30 on NBCSN, the Vancouver Canucks take on the Minnesota Wild in Game 4 of that series. And then movie picks for you this evening at 6:34 Central Time on Bravo, starring Reese Witherspoon, is Legally Blonde, classic. 7 o'clock on BBC America, it is Ghostbusters, the original one, with Bill Murray. Just an absolutely fantastic movie.
Sure.
And then at 7:30 on Freeform tonight, starring Nicolas Cage, it's the sequel to National Treasure. It's National Treasure 2, Book of Secrets.
Gotta love it.
It is a movie-filled Friday night for you, along with sports.
Make sure you check all of that out. That is our nightly TV guide brought to you by our friends at Coca-Cola. Again, Auburn adds Tennessee and South Carolina to the schedule. The SEC will announce the order that those games take place later next week. All right, that does it for the live portion of our show. Again, we've got interviews with Andy Burcham and Phil Steele coming your way right after this, right here on Tiger 95.9 and AM 620 WTRP in LaGrange. Ryan, hope that you have an excellent weekend, my friend.
You too, man.
And Brooks, I hope that you have a great weekend as well.
Great weekend to you too, Joshua.
We are back on the air Monday at 4 o'clock. Once again, happy birthday, Sports Call. 25 years on the air as Auburn's first and Auburn's favorite sports talk show. For my co-hosts today, Ryan Lavoie and Brooks Childress, my name is JJ Jackson. Thank you and good day. Thanks for listening to the Sports Call podcast presented by Pepsi. We hope you enjoyed Auburn's first and Auburn's favorite sports talk show. Pepsi, that's what I like.